You're listening to SBS News.
Well,
leaning against a Sydney pub front, John Holloway's got a beer in his hand and a smile on his face. When he woke up this morning, he didn't expect to receive news this good.
Absolutely out of this world. My three grandchildren are living in New Zealand, Napier, and I'll be over there in the next 3 or 4 weeks seeing and cuddling my kids, which I've missed out on so many months. It's well over a year.
Mr. Holloway is one of many who've welcomed the announcement to open a trans-Tasman bubble. This bubble means people from Australia and New Zealand will be allowed to travel across the ditch without having to complete mandatory hotel quarantine from midnight on Sunday, April 18th.
I cannot see or point to any countries in the world that are maintaining a strategy of keeping their countries completely COVID-free whilst opening up to international travel between each other. That means that in a way, you know, we are world leading.
So how exactly can you travel the bubble? Firstly, to qualify for a quarantine-free flight, you can't have any symptoms of a cold or a flu, and you can't have tested positive for COVID-19 in the past 14 days or be waiting for a COVID-19 test result. You won't be required to provide a negative test result before you travel, but that could change in the event of outbreaks. Travellers are not required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. If you do make it on one of these flights, you'll have to wear a mask. While these requirements aren't entirely new, Ms. Arden says Australia had to meet these pioneering conditions to allow the Corona Corridor.
When those in Australia currently make the welcome decision to come to New Zealand, they'll be making a booking on what is called a green zone flight. That means that there will be no passengers on that flight who have come from anywhere but Australia in the last 14 days. They will also be flown by crew who have not flown on any high-risk routes for a set period of time. Passengers will need to provide comprehensive information on how they can be contacted while in New Zealand.
They might also encounter a random temperature check on arrival, and will be encouraged to use New Zealand's COVID Tracer app during their stay. Travellers from Australia will not have contact at airports with people arriving from other parts of the world. Aside from these coronavirus measures, will travel between the two countries return to the way it was before the pandemic? Ms. Arden says, not quite.
It will not be what it was pre-COVID. While we absolutely wish to encourage family and friends to reunite and visitors to come and enjoy the hospitality New Zealand is ready and waiting to offer, those undertaking travel on either side of the ditch will do so under the guidance of flyer beware. People will need to plan for the possibility of having travel disrupted if there is an outbreak.
And if there is an outbreak in Australia, Ms. Arden says New Zealand will have three possible responses: to continue, pause, or suspend flights.
Just as we have our alert level settings for managing cases in New Zealand, we will also now have a framework for managing an outbreak in Australia. In many ways, we will treat Australia as a region of our own when making decisions on restrictions, albeit one with the complication of multiple internal borders.
It takes Australia and New Zealand into a new relationship, where they behave for travel purposes as another state of a single country. It means an outbreak in one Australian jurisdiction is unlikely to close the bubble completely. Ms. Arden says her government doesn't plan to charge Australians for hotel quarantine if they suddenly need it due to an outbreak in a state they've come from. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison says it's a win-win.
And the fact that we now can combine again will mean jobs. It will mean people reunited. It will mean many opportunities as those normal relations are restored between Australia and New Zealand. We welcome them back, as indeed Kiwis will be welcoming Aussies, and all in time for Anzac Day too, which is tremendous.
Qantas, Jetstar and Air New Zealand have confirmed they will take part in the bubble, though Virgin won't resume all its New Zealand services until the end of October. While both economies are set to profit, co-chair of the Australia-New Zealand Leadership Forum's Tourism Sector Group, Margie Osmond, says one economy will benefit more than the other.
Potentially, the New Zealand tourism industry will do a little better out of this than Australia. Tourism is one of the largest export industries in Australia, and New Zealand is the second largest market for the Australian tourism industry by numbers, but not necessarily by dollar.
Ms. Osmond says that's because Kiwis usually visit Australia to catch up with family and friends. While 70% of Australians who visit New Zealand tend to book self-drive holidays, so their spending spreads more widely than others. Aussies also account for 71% of tourists who go to New Zealand to ski. So despite solid domestic tourism last year, Tourism New Zealand's General Manager for Australia, Andrew Waddle, says the return of Australians is welcome news.
So at the moment, there's been a gap of about $12.9 billion for the New Zealand economy. Return of Australians, which is number one visitors from overseas, will go some way to plugging that gap. It'll be a slow build, but our research predicts it'll be about $1 billion returned to the New Zealand economy by the end of 2021.
Other countries have outlined plans for special travel zones, but the New Zealand-Australia arrangement is among the first in the world that does not involve mandatory COVID-19 testing. Overseas, Taiwan and Palau launched a travel bubble at the start of this month. Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania launched Europe's first quarantine bubble last May, but it closed in September. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Nadine Silva, SBS News.